KLYT Broadcast Studios. This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Thank you for joining us today. ABQ Connect is sponsored in part by Bosque Home Services, heating, cooling, plumbing, roofing, and restoration services. 505-444-7200. That's 505-444-7200 is their phone number. Or on the web at HVACAlbuquerqueNM.com. Bosque Home Services, locally grown, locally owned. Thank you for your support of KLYT and our show, ABQ Connect. I've got the NAV team, the Navigators, Dale Coffin and Karen Warren in studio. Hi, Dale and Karen.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi, Jim.
Hey, and we got to tell our listeners, we're going to talk to Dale during the first half hour, and then Karen's got to put up with me by herself in the second half hour. So I hope she's okay with that. But Karen, I remember a long time ago, I signed a national letter of intent with the University of New Mexico, and my coach was a guy named Norm Ellenberger, who of our listeners
Storm
may
and Norm.
Remember.
Oh, yeah, that was our era.
So I sit down in this big gym, and there's all these new players, and there's all kinds of fans, and Norm stands out in front of us, and he has a basketball, and he holds it up like this. I'm holding up my right hand for those of you who are listening, and he has a basketball, and he said, "Gentlemen, this is a basketball." And that's where he started with us, and we're all kind of looking at each other like, "Coach, I think we understand that." But he then went on to say, "Hey, it's not just something that you dribble all the time. You also have to pass it. This is how you guard it." I mean, he just went through this whole speech. Well, you teach people and you disciple people. Tell us, what is a disciple?
Well, that's a great question. I think a lot of people just, they don't even realize they are disciples. And we get the word from the scriptures, of course. Jesus used the word disciple. The writers of the Gospels used the word disciple. So we use it to kind of connect with what they were teaching us in the Gospels and in the New Testament. And basic bottom line definition is a disciple's a learner. It's someone who, if you look at some of these discipleship websites, if you look at discipleship.org, for example, they have a definition on there that says a disciple is someone who is following Jesus, being changed by Jesus, and is committed to the mission of Jesus. Mm-hmm. I think a disciple is someone who just wants to learn and grow and connect with the Lord, and who never stops learning, who wants to keep growing in that relationship and keep pursuing God. And then we use the term disciple maker as well. Here in the Navigators, we talk about being a disciple maker. A disciple maker is simply a disciple of Jesus who intentionally enters into relationships with people to help them trust and follow Jesus. So we can be disciples, but we can also make disciples, which is what Jesus called us to do. He said, "Go therefore and make disciples." So we try to follow that command.
And you have a term you call life-to-life discipleship. Explain that to us.
We do. We use that among us in the Navigators with the idea that life change happens best with just these relational connections, one-on-one, investing in a person, walking alongside them, sort of like raising a child. You know, you invest your time, your energy, your emotion, what you know, your learning, and you pour into that child and you help them raise up, grow up into a fully functioning adult, right? And it's the same in the spiritual world too. We want to help people by just coming alongside them. We want them to grow into full maturity as a spiritual adult too.
Yeah, and it's important to note, I think, when we think of that term life-to-life discipleship, it's the idea that it's very relational. Disciple or intentional relationship-driven discipleship involves that life-on-life. And as opposed to, and I'll kind of give you the opposite side, especially in our culture today, as we think discipling can occur best, say, in listening to a podcast, now that I know the how-tos, I can do this. And it's not that it's impossible, but not having that relationship means that you don't have the accountability, the accountability for transformational change according to the scriptures. So that's why I like that term life-to-life disciple-making, because it's not that it's, that you can't be disciple, say, from listening to a sermon. It's just it's just not as effective just because you don't have a dialogue. It's a monologue then. Or if you're reading a book, it's still just one way. And then most importantly is it leaves out the accountability side. So
that's right. We talk about the difference between principle and practical. Principle is what we learn when we're taught the principles, the directions for our lives. But the practical side is when we begin to apply it. If there's no change in our behavior or in our walk, our daily walk, then there hasn't been any real transformation, that we're not living out those fully, those steps of being a disciple, because we're listening. We're being hearers of the word, but we're not necessarily being doers of the word.
I suspect there's people that are really interested in learning. It's one of the reasons they listen to this program. Mm-hmm. They want to hear from you and our other guests and some of our Bible teaching on KLYT. And so they are learning and they are disciples, but they may not see themselves as a person that God could make into a disciple maker. Mm-hmm. Would you say that's true, Dan?
Yeah. In fact, I would say that's probably the majority. By far the majority, which is, by the way, I think God kind of identifies in one of the scriptures. In 2 Timothy 2:2, when Paul was writing that last book, he's kind of encouraging Timothy in that letter, and he says, the things that you've heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable or faithful men who will be qualified to teach others. So in that scripture, Paul specifically says to He didn't say, Timothy, go out and teach all men, which in my mind is that's what he wants. But he called it, I said, to reliable or faithful men. And I say men, it's men and women, of course. And because of that, it's almost like he says, there's going to be people that are not ready yet. Not that they shouldn't be, but not now or not yet. And so I like to look at that idea when people, when they believe they can't do it, there's those that can't do it for a reason. And there's those that can't do it for a season. And the ones that are seasonal because of busyness of work or family or stuff, I see that as a, you know, that's a season of life. But that season will pass, and that time for disciple making mm-hmm. is then brought up again. So you kind of look at both. I don't want people to think, well, I could never do that. Well, it mm-hmm. could be because of a season of life. So it's
yeah.
okay.
Yeah.
But don't make it the reason. Don't make it, I could never. No, I'd challenge him in that.
And we go back to, again, we go back to Jesus, the example of Jesus, when we talk about that. His whole plan was to reach the world through people. He had no other plan. It was through ordinary, everyday people living and connecting with the relationships in their lives. That's the only way we're going to advance the gospel and grow people and grow the kingdom of God. And there's a great book I would highly recommend people read. It's called The Master Plan of Evangelism, that just looks at the gospels and looks at how did Jesus invest in people? How did he walk alongside them? What did he do? And if it was good enough for him, it ought to be good enough for us, right? And there's one quote in there that I really like that says, the Great Commission, that's going and making disciples, is not merely preaching the gospel, not merely baptizing converts or teaching precepts, but to make disciples, to build people like themselves who were so constrained by the commission of Christ that they not only followed his way, but led others to do so as well. And so we look for people that have that burden to invest in other people, that have that sense of, I can't help but do this. I feel drawn to help others have and experience the relationship with Christ that I have.
Karen, I don't know if Dale feels this way, but I sit back in our culture and I look at women. I see them managing corporations. I see them fixing meals for the family. I see them leading the third grade VBS at their church. I see them cleaning. I see them doing all this stuff. It's almost like they need 26 hours a day to do everything. So I mentioned this because I want you to tell me about women and being disciples and disciple makers. It's almost like they don't have time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a valid battle that we wrestle every day. And maybe it's not just women. It's probably most people. They fill their lives with the necessary, the important things, but they can tend to leave out the things that God called us to do as well. And even as when I was a new believer, I was a young mom and I had kids at home, and I didn't have the same freedoms to go and to be in different events and to invest in things that other people did. But God opened so many doorways for me. I don't think people realize how many relational connections they have, even when they think they don't. You know, when you've got young kids and you're taking them to swimming events, you're taking them to the park, you're doing play groups, you're taking them to VBS, you're working in the workplace, and you're relating with all those people who work around you. I had so many opportunities to tell people what God was doing in my life just through the natural rhythms of my day and with the people I interacted with. So unless you're completely isolated and never see other people, we do have opportunities for impact through the events of our lives and through the stage of life that God's put us in. I mean, you'd probably say the same for guys, right?
In fact, I was, as Jim was mentioning it about the women's side, I was just thinking about a meeting I just recently had on disciple making. And it was a Disciple Makers for Life small group that I lead over at Citizen Church. And in that first meeting we had in, there were 14 people that were in that first group, two men, 12 women, two men. And I remember remarking on that, thinking, now, why is that? Why is it that there's such this kind of out of balance? And it just struck me that there's something in our culture today that kind of produces that. And it made me think, did God call, you know, certain people to not? And I would say, no, not based on scripture. It was for both men and women to lead out in this area. So it just struck me about how our culture or how we get this busyness of life where it's kind of put on the back burner for the men. So it's just interesting how the women found that to be more, at this point anyway, to find it to be more fulfilling.
Dale, tell us a little bit more about what you're doing at Citizen Church.
You bet. Yeah, it's interesting. Pastor Dustin over there is, it's great to hear his story about this, but last year during COVID, in the onslaught of COVID, he was a brand new lead pastor for Citizen Church, and it just kind of was very, in reality, it's kind of a frightening adventure to all of a sudden have COVID come in when he was just now starting leadership. And what was really fascinating in that time was he really sought out God in terms of, you know, how he was going to go through this. And disciple making really kind of stood out to him at that time, specifically in the area of his college age ministry that was going on over there. So he revamped during COVID right in the middle, and he started up this new thing as he was going through the scriptures. In starting out what they called Citizen U, and by the way, it was not advertised. It was only within the college age ministry that was being told, and they raised up a bunch of discipling leaders to start up in a little small group setting. They would come up once a week to be challenged by the Word, and then the rest of the week kind of be one on one and through their small group on how to live it out kind of thing. And I found out about that at the beginning of this year, and I was so challenged that I said, man, he's on to something, because you don't hear that kind of such a great move from what they were doing, which was so powerful. So I had a chance to meet with Pastor Dustin and got an opportunity to kind of share my heart in the area of disciple making. And boy, our hearts really knit together almost immediately. And he was, in a sense, just asking. He said, Dale, I was asking how I could help. And he was saying, man, please come and help. And so I started a relationship over at Citizen Church to help this Disciple Makers for Life small group to help equip mentors to be mentors or to be disciple makers, you know, how to live it out themselves first so that they could then pass it on to be a disciple maker for others.
And let me add, too, the phrase Disciple Makers for Life is something that we have really begun to use intentionally with the Navigators. And I love that Dale's using it even with a ministry inside the church, because it conveys the idea that this is something we're called to do for the rest of our lives. It may take different shapes and forms. It may have different time commitment levels. There may be a season you're not as active. But really, if we see ourselves as disciple makers for the long haul, then we don't say, I'll do this one time, and then, oh, now what else can I do? I'll look for something else. So we're really trying to convey that idea to people that this is something God's equipped you for and called you to for the rest of your life. You have the ability to have an impact in people's lives for the rest of your life.
Yeah, it's truly a lifestyle, not a program. So,
Karen, you have an event coming up Thursday. Tell us about that.
We do, and because this is so important to us, this idea of disciple making for life. We really want to convey that message. We have started doing these quarterly online events. Eventually, we hope to have them in person again. But for right now, with COVID, we're doing them online. We've got one coming up this Thursday at 7 p.m. And anyone is invited. Anyone can come to this. If you have ever wondered what it might be like to invest in someone else's life, to walk alongside them, to not know everything, but to help someone else discover what Jesus' calling is on their lives. If you've ever wondered about doing that, this is a time for you to get involved and to come onto a call like this. We're expecting, I don't know, 150 or so people in various stages of being disciple makers. Our international president with the Navigators, Mutua Mahianini, is going to speak. And he's going to be speaking to us from Nairobi and sharing his passion for lifetime disciple making and multiplying generations of disciple makers. And so we're very excited and thrilled to have the opportunity to have him speak. You can go to our website, www.abqnavs, NAVS as in short for Navigators, .org, and click on events, and all the information's there. The whys, why should you come to this? What can you get out of this? What are other people saying who have been to this before? What's the biography of our speaker? What kinds of things can you expect during this time? And we are encouraging people to get on this call because it might be just the first step someone needs to help them understand what disciple making could mean in their lives.
We are in studio with Dale Coffing and Karen Warren. They are Navigators Faith at Work ministry staff in Albuquerque. They have a lot more to talk to us about with Navigators. I think you're going to have not only be interested, but you're going to have some fun with what they're talking about. And the relationships are relationships. You may have a Bible study at your church. You may have those relationships. But having relationships outside with other people from other churches and getting different perspectives could be a really interesting thing. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Stay with us on ABQ Connect.
Hi, this is Carrie Jobe, and here's a special word from an incredible pastor in my life. Pastor Robert Morris.
This is our priority as disciples, to know Jesus. Think about an extension cord. If that extension cord is not plugged into a power source, there will be no power, because the extension cord by itself has no power. But when it's plugged into the power source, the exact same power that the power source has is available at the end of that extension cord. All of you are extension cords. You're extension cords of God's power, and not just His power, His love and His grace and His mercy and His peace and His kindness and His truth. But if you're not plugged in, no one's going to get anything on the other end. So you stay plugged in.
For more worship in the Word, visit PastorRobert.com.
Here's Pastor Mike Fabares with your one-minute focal point.
Have you ever felt like you were being bombarded with conflicting Christian voices? I mean, people pointing to the same passage of Scripture, but somehow coming to completely different conclusions. All these instructors claim to be Christ's sheep, but we ought to be careful because Jesus warned that some of them might in fact be harmful and deceptive wolves. Unfortunately, making the distinction between what's biblically sound and what's not isn't as simple as we might hope. False teaching will almost always have plenty of truth mixed in, and that's why it makes it so insidious. So learning how to be discerning without being incredulous or hypercritical, it's an essential Christian virtue. And that's why we need to be diligent to study God's Word. We need to know the truth so that we can discern it from error.
Want more? Join Pastor Mike Fabares each weekday on Focal Point to be equipped for life. Details at focalpointradio.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We want to thank Ben Lucero and Indigo Mortgage for supporting the ministry of KLYT and our show ABQ Connect. Indigo Mortgage, 505-836-5700. That's 836-5700. Or indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage and Ben Lucero, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect. Thank you, Andrew Banks, for engineering the program today. Andrew's doing about 15 things around the radio station, just he and I in the station today. Dale Coffing and Karen Warren in studio. Dale, let's go right to this question. You've spent a lot of time in the Word. You've learned. Have you learned all there is to know, and now you're a disciple maker?
You know, that's a great question. My first career was in engineering, and I remember going through the engineering books, you know, all the technical books and the mathematics, and you feel like once you get through it, you got that and you understood it. Well, what I found out very quickly as a believer is that God's Word, His book, is nothing like any of the technical books where you get to learn it and you're done. See, with God's Word, it's living and active, and it has the opportunity to have some new truth as you read through it, whether it be an actual command that you're understanding better or a better principle that you can apply. It's just never ending. And so the beauty of God's Word is when you go through it, it amazes me to see the different things or the different facets of God's Word that He wants to unleash to you, to kind of reveal to you today versus what it would have been, say, a year ago or even 10 years ago.
When you listen to a pastor maybe teaching a passage that you heard a different, maybe you heard Pastor Dustin teach on something that Skip Heitzig taught on 5 years ago, there's always a different perspective that God brings you through that.
So true. In fact, I appreciate you bringing up that analogy, because I've actually been able to hear both, been under Pastor Skip and Pastor Dustin, to hear how they look at Scripture, and you're so right. This morning I was talking with a group of men in one of my small groups, and we're going through a Scripture that seems on the surface like, okay, I just read it. But God just reveals some new truths all the time, and this particular one happened to be in Judges chapter 2. It's in verse 7, and it's about the end of Joshua's life. And what it says in verse 7, it says that the people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua. That's how it starts off. What a great picture that the people that Joshua was over, that they were recognized as serving the Lord throughout the entire lifetime of Joshua. Then it continues on in there, and it says, and that the elders who outlived him, and who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. So it's such a great picture to see the legacy that Joshua left in terms of while he was living. Now, here's the sad part. That was verse 7. And then it ends. I'm going to skip over to something that comes up next, because it's the sad part. And it says here in verse 10, after the whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, in other words, this generation that had been serving God so faithfully, it said, another generation grew up, the kids, who knew neither the Lord or what he had done for Israel. The Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord and served these false gods, Baal. And so I remember thinking as I read that, okay, it's the knowledge side of me. I'm learning something new. But what struck me now is the opportunity to see that as well and how quickly our generations changed. That as well as Joshua was leading his in just one generation, it completely flipped. So here's what the challenge was as I read that scripture this morning was, well, what does that mean? And I'm just kind of throwing in a little the Book of Dale here to kind of, but I thought, I wonder, was it possible that Joshua and his leadership, the elders, they did not pass it on well? They did not make disciples well. Is it possible that they were all in self-development and did very, very well, as they obviously the scripture records, but it did not get passed down. And so in just one generation, that entire generation was doing evil in God's sight. And for me, it was a true picture of the importance of disciple making, how important it is that I don't look at this as something to just learn for myself to be better for God and be good in his eyes, but to then pass it on so that the next generation sees all, and I'll just use the verse that I said again, saw all the great things the Lord had done, to kind of reissue the stories and the miracles of what God had done. So that was my challenge from Judges 2.
Sometimes I worry that Americans, they don't see how God has worked in our country. You know, you can think about our forefathers, and you can think about, well, maybe they were Spiritists, maybe they were Christians, whatever they were. But when you have somebody like Thomas Jefferson that writes, all men are created equal, and then you realize that he was a slaveholder when he wrote those, and here's the funny thing to me is that's obviously sin. We all have sin. We are all doing things that we shouldn't do. But he knew what the right thing was, and he wrote things, I think, at his peril about slavery. And then 8 years after the Declaration of Independence, he writes a letter to the Assembly at Virginia, and he says in that in that treatise. And these are all biblical principles. That's why I'm emphasizing this.
Yeah.
He says there are three problems with slavery. The first one is it will teach slaves and their children to hate this country. Number two, he says, men become tyrants, not just over another race, but over all men. They think that they're the boss. And, of course, that biblical principle of being humble before God and everything else are things that we all learn. Mm-hmm. But here's the most devastating one to me. The third reason, he said that, and I'm paraphrasing, obviously, but he said, if there were a war, and they were afraid there would be a war because they recognized the intelligence, the brilliance, and the community that a lot of the slaves had, they were afraid that the slaves would rebel. And he said, if there was a war between slave owners and slaves, God would not be on the side of the slave owners. Now, not only did he write this 8 years after the Declaration of Independence, didn't reduce the number of slaves that he held, but he continued to hold slaves for another 30 years. So here's a man that is obviously profoundly aware of what God wanted him to do, and he didn't do it. So for me, I bring that up because you were talking to Dale about passing on things. You know, Americans need to know. They need to not... We don't need to get rid of those stories and erase them. We need to recognize the struggle. We need to see the sin in our lives and how God can redeem us and forgive us. And that's what you do, Karen. Mm-hmm. I want you to tell us, I want you to explain navigators and how you reach and disciple people in need of the gospel where they work, live, worship, and play.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of in my spiritual heritage for so many years. I think I take it for granted. It's this idea of just being living as a disciple and coming alongside others to make disciples. Navigators, the organization, is a worldwide interdenominational Christian ministry with over 4,000 NAV staff representatives around the world. So we're everywhere. We're in countries and in cities and in communities, and we work in a lot of different areas. We work with collegiate ministries. We work with the military or with 20s, the millennial generation. We work with workplace, as Dale mentioned earlier. We work with underprivileged youth. We've just got lots of different ways that we connect with people. But the bottom line, the vision through all of that is the same, is helping people know Christ, make him known, and help others do the same. And so we have freedom as individual NAV reps to do that in ways that utilize our own gifts and strengths and abilities to come alongside people, as long as we're pursuing that Great Commission. And Navigators as an organization, being a what we call sometimes a parachurch, means we're not affiliated with a specific church. Therefore, we can partner with all churches. We want to come alongside and help churches grow, help them be successful in making disciples, as well as people who aren't coming to a church, as well as people in communities that just need to find a way to connect and have somebody help them grow spiritually.
Dale, you've got about 2 minutes left with us, so I want you to leave us with a good word. And I would appreciate it if you could challenge men in particular.
Yeah. You know, I shared earlier about this idea that in that group that I had, there was only a couple men in there. And I remember being on church staff, that was not unusual. You know, I remember when there was a call for volunteers, there tends to be a higher percentage of the women stepping up in terms of volunteering, in terms of stepping out. Not that the men didn't, but just overall, it seemed like...
By the way, thank you, women.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And it got me to think sometimes about, you know, the role that God had given men. And just biblically, you know, just the one that strikes me just so evidently is when God called, you know, the first apostles, the disciples, those 12. You know, he didn't call any women. He called all men. It was obvious that Jesus was calling out very clearly the men and not the women at that point that he was pouring into. And there's two ways to kind of look at that in a funny way. And that's to say, why was it that the women didn't need that encouragement? They already got it, man. They were there and he had to push it on the men. Or is it possible that God really has this leadership role that he not only calls out, but he expects in leadership? And so for men, I'm just drawn to the especially for those men that are in relationships, that are married, you know, to kind of look back biblically. And I just continually to think of Ephesians 5 and how when Paul wrote that, he says to husbands, to love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And it's so he gave us a calling to love our wives the way Christ loved, which was sacrificial love, unconditional and just a sacrificing love. And I realized that men, it's we need help in doing that, to be accountable to one another in being those loving husbands that lead like Christ led the church. And that verse continues and goes on, and it says to bathe her. It's like this idea of bathing her in the Word, getting ready to present her as this, you know, like the responsibilities on us. Let's put her in the Word, that he's given us a spiritual leadership role. And so I would just hope that men kind of get back in the Word again, to kind of look at some of the things God's called us to, and to be that example, that women, our wives especially, will look at us as that spiritual leader, because we loved not the way that they see us as a man, but they see Christ in us, the true reflection of Christ, that that sacrificial love that would die for her.
You know, Dale, I get the idea that if you're a true reflection of Christ as a man, you are going to reflect back to your wife every day how God sees her.
Mm.
And you're going to be that mirror, and you're going to take that responsibility. And that's not easy.
Right.
That's a tough deal. Dale, we appreciate you being here today. I know you could spend a short time with us, and I hope you have a productive afternoon the rest of the way. Karen Warren will be back with us, and Dale, thank you. They're both part of the Faith at Work ministry with the Navigators in Albuquerque. We'll be right back with Karen Warren right after these messages. Thanks, Dale.
Thanks.
This is a Fresh Thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
All of God's people have lived under the hope and the promise, and it all centers around a river that comes from the altar, a river that comes from the altar and leaves through a temple, a river that comes from the altar and leaves the temple and comes through a gate and eventually flows to all of us. And this obviously is something that is all a prophetic description of what God was going to do through Jesus. We know that because it involves an altar. We know that because it involves a temple. We know that because it involves a gate. On the altar, in the temple that you access by going through the gate, was this picture of sacrifice and what it would take to have a right relationship with God. And Ezekiel was living at a time, he wrote this somewhere around 597 BC, at a time when all hope seemed like it was lost.
For more Fresh Thoughts, go to levilesko.com.
In the spring, children's thoughts turn to creating wonderful summer memories. That's the case with your children and the children at Albuquerque Christian Children's Home. We care for children who have been abused, abandoned, and neglected. Help them have the summer every child dreams of having. Your donation of funds and gift cards to restaurants, ice cream shops, and sporting events will make that happen. We can also use gift cards from clothing stores to help us outfit our children for the summer. Call 898-5520 or online at acch4kids.org.
I'm Pastor Scott Tom, host of the Bible Answer program, No Other Doctrine. We have a college to train you for ministry. You can train at ccfcollege.com, but every 2 years, I personally train up 50 men. It is low cost and only one night a week. It starts in August. Men, get more info at crossfellowship.org. That's crossfellowship.org or call 990-7588.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
Holly and Dave Slade and their team at Dave Slade and Associates Realtors are sponsors of the programming here on KLYT and ABQ Connect. Dave Slade and Associates, 342-8100. Holly and Dave Slade at Dave Slade and Associates do business by the book, 342-8100, or on the web at abqhomeseeker.com. I'm a little upset with Andrew Banks, my engineer. He's not sharing his snack at lunchtime with us. I guess it would be hard for me to talk on the radio while eating. He'd be shaking his head at me. See, Karen, how rude these guys are? They're enjoying lunch and everything else, and we're in here slaving away.
They forget about you.
I love it. Karen, you sent me an email real early this morning. Well, not that early, but this morning. And it said that you had a woman from one of your discipleship networks contact you. And I immediately thought, What is a discipleship network? Tell us about that.
Yeah. Well, this is something I'm passionate about, this idea of networking with other people to kind of communicate this vision, this great commission call to go and make disciples. And let me clarify, Navigators helps and comes alongside people to help them grow as a disciple and also as disciple makers. So wherever you are in your journey toward Jesus and understanding who he is, Navigators can come alongside and can help. If you need help growing just in what it means to be a disciple, we can help that. But the next step is for us to help you fulfill that great commission. It's once you're walking with Jesus, and let me say this too, you don't have to be an expert. You don't have to know everything in the Bible. You don't have to have all this wisdom and answers to every question. This is how I've heard it described. You only need to be one or two steps ahead of the person you're leading to have a follower, right? Mm-hmm. You go through a study and then you take someone through a study. You learn something new, you share what you've learned. Really, Jesus said, I profess to know nothing except Jesus Christ and him crucified, right? You don't have to know it all. You just share what you know. And so these discipleship networks are an opportunity for people who have followed Jesus and who have lived as a disciple to now pass that on. What does that look like? How do I do it? How do I get started? And so if I can, let me share a story with you of just a picture of what that might look like. So several years ago, I invited some women together to encourage them and equip them and challenge them to go make disciples. There were probably a dozen women. And we started meeting together and talking about what it looks like. We prayed for people. We asked God to give us disciples. We went through a book on what's involved in making a disciple. What's the curriculum you use? How do you invite them into this kind of a relationship? And we really just developed this passion and desire for making disciples. So during that time, one of the members in that group, Jenny, who already had experience in making disciples, and had actually joined us just because she wanted to be a part of the energy of this. She wanted to be connected with other people that were pursuing the same path. Well, Jenny loved the idea of not just making disciples, but helping others become disciple makers so much that she started her own network. She invited a group of women to come together. She took all the materials we had used, and she started teaching them, what does it mean for you to come alongside someone else and invest in someone and be confident in sharing your faith relationally and just pour into people? Well, so now our network had just doubled. Now we had two groups, right? One of her trainees, a woman named Mindy, started learning how to be more natural and relational in sharing her faith, understood what it meant fully to make disciples. Mindy got excited. She took what she was learning and started being more confident in sharing her faith, led a couple people to Christ, thought, this is cool, why doesn't everybody do this? And decided she wanted to start a network. Then she wanted to teach other people. She said, everyone should be doing this. Why are we not all making disciples? And so she started a network. Now we got three. Mindy invited several people to join her network. She started training them in how to be disciple makers, how to be generational, how to raise up someone who will then raise up someone. So now one of the women in her group, Sarah, starts embracing this idea of relational, intentional connecting with other people, sharing the gospel naturally, sharing who Jesus is. So her friend Sarah starts sharing her faith with her brother, with her brother's friend, with her sister. They all come to Christ, and they all say, wow, what you're teaching us, we've never heard this before. We want to do what you're doing. We want to share it with people. So now Sarah's sister is saying, how can I go do this? How can I encourage people? And Sarah told her, I thought this was so wise. Sarah said, don't worry about not knowing everything. Just share what you know, how Jesus loves you and how he has changed your life. That's all you need to remember. So Sarah's sister started sharing with people and telling her friends and her family members. And now she is making disciples. She is leading people to meet Jesus, and she's discipling them. So that whole story there, the names I mentioned, I just mentioned probably at least five generations of disciple makers pouring into their own relational networks and passing it along. And that is the whole vision behind these disciple-making networks, is letting you become a part of something that's going to multiply generationally.
Karen, what's the motivation that people have? Is it because once they say, Jesus, I need you in my life, that he's compelling them spiritually to share that good deal with other people?
Yeah, I think so. In fact, I have another friend, Jen, who was talking about how her life changed when she gave her life to Jesus. And she said, once I realized he loved me, he had a plan for my life, he offered me a way to be reborn, to let go of all the stuff from my past. She said, I couldn't help but just love to be with him and want to do what he called me to do. Mm-hmm. She said, there's this driving force to just want to live out what he says and what he's called us to do and to walk alongside him. I can still remember being a brand new believer myself. And when I fully understood what Jesus had done for me and what he had offered for me with this new life, I was so hungry. I couldn't wait to figure out what his plan was for my life. And I went to Christian bookstores and I started just grabbing books and reading, what am I supposed to do? What do I do next? What is this idea of being a disciple? And before even I had anybody to walk alongside me in that journey, I was figuring it out for myself because I couldn't wait.
You have a multiplier event. It's an online meeting Thursday. Tell us the details about that.
Yes.
What time and how to sign up.
This is something we only started a couple of years ago. We had a in-person event here in Albuquerque. All our local Navigator staff, all of our disciple makers, the people that partner with us to help make disciples, we would get together. We got together in at a church, and we had this big gathering, and we talked about making disciples, and we had testimonies. And then COVID hit. So the next time we did it online, thinking, oh, how's this going to work? It worked really well because now we could reach people from outside of Albuquerque. We have people coming from all different cities. In fact, of course, our speaker, Mutua, is going to be speaking to us from Nairobi. He's our international president with the Navigators. He has a lifetime of experience in making disciples, generational disciple makers, and not only besides leading the Navigator organization. So now we're inviting people for the time being to join us online. And it's going to be about an hour and a half, maybe at the most, time-wise. Starts at 7 p.m. Albuquerque time. And we're inviting people to come and hear Mutua share and hear a couple of testimonies from other people that have been doing this, that are figuring out how to make disciples. Not to mention, we'll have a couple of times where you can get into a breakout session. You know how they break people out in these mm-hmm. Zoom calls, and hear other people's questions or what they're experiencing or what they're learning or what they've been involved in. Most of the people coming on this call aren't what we'd call quote unquote professional or staff disciple makers, right? They're just everyday people trying to figure out how to maybe make this a part of their lives. So we're going to have people who've never done it before, people who have done it, people who are doing it regularly, and you'll just get an opportunity to hear what it looks like and to see that you could be a part of something big.
And that's www.abqnavs.org.
Yes.
All the details are there.
You go to that website, click on events. We'll have information about our speaker, the time frame, kind of some of the things that you can expect during the evening as we go through the time and share some of these different things. The last one we did, we had people responding back and saying, one person said it's one of the best Zoom events they had ever participated in.
I suspect there's people that live in New Mexico, maybe Las Cruces, because that's part of our audience now, and they have family and friends that live in West Texas.
Yes.
Or Dallas. Can they invite them to participate?
Absolutely. The more the merrier. In fact, I'm sending out invites to people I know in Washington, D.C., and out in California. I've got a whole group of ladies that I connect with weekly via a Zoom call who are all out in California, and some of them have already signed up for this event. So we'll have people, and I know a few people coming from other countries.
Yeah, that's exciting. Karen, I've got a question when we come back from the break to start our last segment with you that involves people that are listening but might be skeptics. They're not yet someone who's committed themselves to Christ. And I want to know if there's a starting point with Navigators where they can start. Mm-hmm. We'll be back after these messages. Stay with us.
Wow, was that another?
Whether at home or in the workplace, we're all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Groeschel.
How do you lead up effectively? Honor matters. Showing honor matters. If you don't feel a sense of honor for the person who is above you, they're going to sense it through you. If you're looking around going, I could do better than that, you know, I should be in that role. What you need to understand is that if you were supposed to be in that role, you would be in that role. You're not in that role because you're not yet supposed to be in that role. If you want one day to be over others, you need to learn to be under others and show honor. Show honor where you are. Now, you may say, well, you know, but my leader is not amazing. You're mixing respect and honor. When you remember that respect is earned, honor is given. Honor those in authority over us. We believe that they are there because they're supposed to be there, and we're going to serve them and help their mission be better.
That was Craig Groeschel with a KLYT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
Everyone knows of the contributions of Thomas Edison. His many inventions were groundbreaking in their day and revolutionized modern life. But what was it about Edison that caused him to be so inventive? Well, perhaps these words of his reveal the reason. Restlessness and discontent, he said, are the first necessities of progress. I believe there is a healthy version of spiritual restlessness and discontent that can lead us to greater progress in our relationship with God and our relationships with others. If you are not content with your spiritual life, that realization can be the first step on the road to progress. This is David Jeremiah, encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how to make progress with God on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams.
We are visiting this afternoon with Karen Warren. She's part of the Navigators Faith at Work ministry staff in Albuquerque. Karen, I appreciate you being here. And Dale Coffing in our first half hour. You guys make a good team.
We do, yeah. He gives me time to speak, so, hey, and that's good.
Well, the thing about it is, in this day and time, men and women need encouragement.
We do.
And there is no better way to encourage people than in the Word.
Absolutely. That's right. In fact, that's why I love being on staff with the Navigators. Every staff member here in Albuquerque has this team approach, and we support each other. We promote each other's ministries. We talk about each other's ministries. We are involved in them. Everyone else's ministry is as important as my own.
Mm. So I want to reiterate that you can go to, in fact, I just went to it myself. You can go to ABQNAVS, ABQNAVS.org, and you can find all about the Multiply event. It's this Thursday. Starts at 7 o'clock p.m. to 8:30. She tells you how to sign up, who can go, all of that. But before the break, I ask you a question about if somebody's skeptical. And, you know, we all have doubts, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. But if somebody's really skeptical, is there a place for them to start with Navigators?
Absolutely. I mean, we love, obviously, this is our passion. Talking about Jesus, talking about his word, this is our passion. So we are always ready to engage in conversation. I think remembering back to the term disciple, meaning learner, I think as long as we are willing to learn and as long as we are willing to ask questions, and to be open to hearing what the Bible has to say, then I think God can teach us, God can reveal things to us, God can pour his truth into us. And so any one of the Navigators on staff here in Albuquerque, for sure, would love the opportunity to sit down with someone and answer tough questions. And part of it is we're not just there to answer questions. We're there to point people in the direction of how they can find the answers. And so sometimes it can just be challenging. People don't know where to look or how to read the Bible, or they say, this is hard to understand, right? And so to walk alongside someone that's just a couple of steps ahead, again, that may have some knowledge or some insight or has learned some lessons that can help unlock a couple of those things can be really helpful. I was just reading the other day in my quiet time, in John chapter 4, where Jesus speaks with a Samaritan woman, and he's telling her these hard spiritual truths, and he's talking about living water. And if you knew who this was who asked you for a drink, he He says, and you asked me for that water, he would give it to you, and it would become in you streams of living water, right? And she didn't understand what he was talking about, right? Mm. It was confusing to her. She misunderstood. She's thinking, physical water? Where do I go to get this kind of water?
Well, she was also surprised that a Jew would be talking to her.
Yes, and she didn't understand. And the thought that came to my mind when I was reading that was that Jesus's fault that she didn't understand him? Was he not a good communicator? Was he unclear? Or was it that we come to the Lord with all our baggage and with our sin, and we see in a mirror dimly, right? And we see things as through a clouded veil. And so it's up to us to seek, knock, seek, ask, to ask the questions, to dig deeper, to keep pursuing. And God says, you will find me when you seek me. But we have to keep seeking. And that Samaritan woman kept seeking. She kept asking questions. She kept listening. It wasn't a, well, I don't get that. You don't make any sense, and move on, right? She was hungry. And so I think if we're hungry, there are plenty of opportunities for people to come alongside and help.
And there's just a conversation that's available.
Yes.
You know, no argumentation.
That's right.
You know, I've always interested with two terms, skeptic, which I used earlier. Mm-hmm. And I think it's fine to be a skeptic. I think it's fine to be asking questions. What I get worried about are people that are naturally what I'll call scoffers, where they just want to make fun of everything because they don't understand it. Those are the people that won't learn. Those are the people that won't grow because they've already shut it down.
Yeah.
And I have people all the time come to me and say, oh, you Christians aren't open-minded. I said, really? Well, what do you have to say to me? Oh, well, I want to sit down with you and I want to show you how creation science is actually just a bunch of hooey and it doesn't really mean anything. So I start listening to them talking, and then I start asking about actual science that biblical supports and historical evidence in Scripture, and then science evidence, apologetics type things that work. And by the end of the conversation, they're like, I didn't know all of this science supported the historicity of the Bible.
Yep.
And that's the funny thing, is there's so many people that have spent so much time trying to deny God and prove that the Bible is wrong. And through all of their research and all of the things and all of the attacks, literal malicious attacks, the opposite is happening. Science is now proving that the Word of God. For example, I have Dr. Stephen Collins. He's an archaeologist, discovered the ancient city of Sodom. All of the things that they're doing prove that the Bible's account of the destruction of Sodom is accurate. And wait till you hear the real news coming out in September at their event that they're going to have. And these are people from Albuquerque, people from New Mexico that are internationally known scientists, archaeologists, just doing some really cool things.
Yeah, and sometimes I think what challenges us or what makes us skeptics is that we don't know what we don't know, mm-hmm. right? And we don't understand how the Bible relates to archaeology and historical events and the creation. We don't know what we don't know. And I'll have people say to me, well, I don't believe the Bible is true or inerrant. And I'll say, well, which part? Mm-hmm. Or they'll say, I have a lot of disagreements with what I believe the Bible teaches. And I'll say, well, how much time have you spent reading the Bible? Well, I haven't really. So, you know, you have to know what it is that you're professing you don't believe or know. And sometimes it's just because we haven't heard the whole story yet. And when you do dig deeper, you've heard all those stories about people that set out to prove the Bible wrong, and they dug deep into it, and they researched, and they were bound and determined to show this: the Bible's not, it's got inconsistencies, and it contradicts itself. And they ended up proving the reverse. And some of these known scholars and journalists and people who studied and tried to come up with a way to discredit the Bible actually ended up coming to Christ. So I think the Bible has validity that a lot of those people don't even realize. And those are the kinds of things when you meet with someone and start talking through those things, those are the kinds of things you can start learning.
Karen, I'm impressed with the way you and Dale conduct yourselves with other people, and that you have a great deal of knowledge about the Bible, but you're not lording over people. You're serving people.
Well, because there but for the grace of God go I, right? We're all just We're flawed human beings. We're imperfect. We're trying to figure out how to live our lives in a way that honors God. I want to do that. I desire that, but I don't always do it well. So I can relate to anybody that struggles with, and people will say, well, let me get my life in order first, then I'll start meeting with you, or then I'll come to church. Well, that's not the answer. The answer is you're not going to get everything straightened out until you let God have control in your life and you let him start speaking into your life and you let go of that resistance and stop fighting those things and just trust God to work in you. And people will say, well, if I become a Christian, I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to do all these things. And it just sounds so hard, so challenging. I had a woman tell me this recently. And I said, you know what? Here's the cool thing is you give your life to Jesus. You tell him you want to let him in to make a difference in your life. He does the changing. He begins to do all the changing in you. You will find your attitudes, your resistance, your behaviors, the things that you thought were valuable begin to change. You don't do it. He does.
Yeah.
And that's the most freeing thing there is.
And I think that people need to connect one of the statements Dale made earlier. It's a quote from Hebrews 4. The word of God is living and active. So his word is going to be living and active inside of you. In fact, I've used it one time. I said, okay, I want you to read this Bible verse to a person that now is walking with Christ. And he said, I don't believe this. So I had him read that verse. And he said, well, why did you want me to read that? And I said, well, it was kind of a trap because now that you've read the Word of God, it's living and active and growing inside of you, and there's nothing you can do. And he started laughing because I was being facetious, but I really wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it all started. So it was kind of fun. Why should people come to the Multiply event on Thursday?
Well, first of all, it just, hey, you get to see us.
That's right.
Dale's going to be there. I'm going to be there. About 15, 20 other local Navigator staff are going to be there.
And by the way, Karen, you're available in Albuquerque. That's what you do.
Yes.
You're meeting with people in person and stuff. It's just this event will be online.
That's right. Absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, with COVID restrictions lifting, we're doing more and more of in-person, face-to-face, life-to-life, small group interactions and connections. And that's happening all over the city. But for this Thursday night, it is an online event to make it accessible to everyone, to anyone who wants to jump on the call. Once you register online, you will receive a Zoom link.
And by the way, there's no cost, right?
That's right. That's the other great thing. No cost to us to put it on because it's all online. So no cost that we have to try to recoup. So it's totally free to anyone who wants to come. And I think a big advantage of being on this call, you don't have to say a word if you don't want. Even when you're in these small groups, if you don't want to talk, you don't have to talk. Most people that tell me I don't really want to say anything end up saying something, which I find so funny. But you are going to hear and see and get that sort of that sense of energy of other people who are looking for you, looking like you for the next step. What's the next thing I can do? How can I get plugged in? I need to grow as a disciple, or I want to invest as a disciple maker, or I want to know what more about what this means and what does it look like and how are other people doing it? That's the kind of thing you're going to hear on this call that you're going to see, and you're going to hear these testimonies, and you just get to meet some other people.
Yeah. Your faith at work ministry, you deal with a lot of women that are in leadership, in management positions and things. Does being part of Navigators really help them in their jobs?
I would hope so. I think they might have to answer for that more than I would, but I've invested in so many that I've become good friends and we've connected with, and I love working with them, and they're great people, and they've made a difference in their workplace.
So, Karen, they need to give us 2 hours instead of one. We've already blown through it. Thank you for visiting with
us
today.
Thank you.
ABQ Connect is presented by Bosky Heating and Cooling, 505-444-7200. Bosky Heating and Cooling, locally grown, locally owned. ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.